Hey, everybody. Hope you're doing great. Welcome back to the Jason W. Hoyt Show. It's time to take responsibility for liberty. Find out more about the show at jasonwhoyt.com. That's jasonwhoyt.com. Actually, I'm going to tell you what. Instead of going to that site, go to hoyt.me. Just type in hoyt.me, and I'll send you some information about my course that I'm going to talk about today. So I've been doing a course recording, probably going to be 34, maybe 35 videos in total, going through my book, I Believe in Freedom, Don't You? How to Talk to Family and Friends About Liberty, because I think most people have been doing liberty wrong, have been explaining liberty wrong. And it's so important for us to communicate it to the next generation, to talk to our family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. But if we don't have the right perspective in mind, we're not going to explain it effectively. And here's what I mean by that. In fact, let me show you on a split screen here. Make sure you can see that. Learn more about the course at hoyt.me. That's hoyt.me. With the course, you'll be a part of a online community that I created called the Liberty Restoration Society. We are focused on restoring liberty. We're focused on looking for solutions to restore liberty in many areas of our lives, one of them being politics and government and our relationship with our government. But that's really what we're focused on there. And you'll be a part of that. You'll be a part of the community taking the course. You'll also be a part of the larger community of people with a lot of different groups that we're focused on key missions. Anyways, if you go to hoyt.me, put your email in there, I'll send you a link to all this kind of stuff. So with the course, again, it's going to be probably 35 videos total. Let me go through some of these here real quick. I start off with the introduction, and I'm going through in the book the 30 foundational American principles. So of those, I start off with the most important. Our rights come from God. The proper role of government is to protect and secure our rights, as it says in the Declaration of Independence. I talk about the fact that all political power is inherent in the people. I have a discussion about liberty and freedom is... liberty is freedom plus responsibility. There's key reasons why I use the language that I'm using in defining those words. Facebook user says, love it. Thank you. Because I'm broadcasting this live right now for the people watching the playback or listening on the audio podcast of the Jason W. Hoyt Show. I also explain the fact that we are not a democracy, and I explain why that's so important. When you click on each one of these within the course, you'll see there's a video with a long discussion about this stuff. And then I actually include the text of the book. And then I ask for your comments. And a lot of people are having aha moments when they go through this stuff. And they're like, okay, I didn't really look at it that way. When I talk about here in number 9, we don't have constitutional rights. Actually, I'm going to play that video for you right now. Because this is a timely story. Let me just play this. We don't have constitutional rights. It's so important to really understand what the purpose of the Constitution is, why it was written, what it does not do. I'm going to play that video for you right now, actually. Hey, everyone. Hope you're doing great. Welcome to Section 3 and Principle Number 9. We don't have constitutional rights. Principle Number 9, we don't have constitutional rights. And this one is one of my favorite. Because when I have this interaction, this discussion with people, and I get to this part or they've read the book and they give me feedback afterwards, this is where most people have an aha moment. Let me know if you guys actually can hear this or cannot hear this. I'd love to know because I'm playing this from my iPad. It's a quick story here. As of the time of this recording, he is a state senator in Illinois, Darren Bailey. He was a state rep, and while he was a state rep, he sued the governor and won regarding the COVID executive order extensions. And for some reason, the state has ignored the lawsuit where he won. And the governor, as of the time of this recording, has had like 33, I think, consecutive executive orders, just completely outside the bounds, outside the limits placed on the government by the Constitution. But here we are. And State Senator Darren Bailey, he won his election to become a state senator, and now he's running for governor. That election is next month as of the time of this recording. Anyways, I met him a few months back, and here's an interesting thing. I'm always looking, whenever I have conversations with politicians, there's an important quality that I look for in that conversation. do they make eye contact? And are they, how interested are they in talking to you? With Darren, and there's a handful of others, but most of the time, here's what happens. You're at an event, there's lots of people, it's a great opportunity for them, because in their mind, they're like, I want to see, I want to talk to you, and I want to see as many people as possible. So they're always kind of rushing, you know, or it's a fundraising event, they want to raise money, and if you're not giving money, they want to move on to the next guy, you know. A lot of times when you're talking to them, they're like this. They're like looking over your shoulder, like, who's next? And they're talking, and there's no follow-up questions. Darren's one of those guys who I had a great conversation with, and he looked, he was genuine, head cocked, genuine, looked me in the eye. And he had follow-up questions that were relevant to the previous thing that we talked about. And he was genuinely interested. And I really appreciated that. I gave him my book and talked to him about it. And he asked me, well, tell me about the book. What's in here? Because here's the interesting thing. Like Darren, he's already a constitutional republic guy. He never says democracy, or rarely if he does. And so he's already, you know, on board. He's got the right perspective. But he was genuinely interested. And so I gave him my little spiel on the book. And I say there's oftentimes these trigger words that I look for to tell if somebody has the right perspective on things. And I start with the easy ones whenever I explain it. I say, for example, I still hear, which is going to be up in an upcoming principle, which we will discuss. But I still hear people say, our leaders in Washington, you know, and he just nods, you know, right? Yeah, I hear that all the time, because they're not our leaders in Washington. They're our public servants. They're our employees. They are our representatives. They're not our leaders. And then I say, for example, I don't have constitutional rights. And then I pause, because I usually get that, wait a minute, what? I get that look, okay, keep going. What do you mean we don't have constitutional rights? We don't get our rights from the Constitution. You know, we have constitutional protections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I said, for example, I don't have a First Amendment right to free speech. Well, I said, no. I have a natural God-given right to speak my mind. And the purpose of the First Amendment is to protect that right from being abridged by government. It says, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. That's the First Amendment. The First Amendment doesn't grant me my right to free speech. I get that right from God. I'm just a natural born human being. Of course, I have a natural right to speak my mind. The purpose of the First Amendment is to make sure that that right is not abridged by government. And I said, for example, I don't have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Now, he's a big hunter guy, guns and whatever, and so I knew this was going to hit home for him. He's like, okay. Because I said, I don't have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Because you and I hear that phrase all the time. But I don't have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. I don't get that right from the Second Amendment. And here's how I know. The word shall. Shall is a legal word. And we're going to dig into that. The Second Amendment does not grant my right to keep and bear arms. It protects it. It's a huge difference. So after having this little spiel back and forth with him, he gets out his business card, has his cell number on it, and he says, Jason, on the campaign trail, if you ever hear me say anything outside of what you just said, call me. I thought that was wonderful. That was top-notch. Because this is a big one for me. This is all about perspective. If you get this right, I know you understand liberty. You've got everything in the right perspective and the right hierarchy, and you fully understand this stuff. So let's dig into some of the language here. As I say, we hear it often. They're violating my constitutional rights. And it's a trigger word for me. Once you truly embody the right perspective, that phrase will stick out like a sore thumb, like it does for me every time I hear it. People, quote unquote, on the right, conservatives and, you know, libertarian guys, and my constitutional rights. I cringe every time I hear it. Because we, the people, don't have constitutional rights. We don't get our rights from the Constitution, and the Constitution does not list our rights. It's not a list of rights. It's a list of protections. That right there is everything. I don't have constitutional rights. I have constitutional protections. I have natural God-given rights, and the Constitution was written to protect them. If the Constitution was destroyed and thrown away, would I still have the natural God-given right to speak my mind? Of course I would. I'm a human being. I have a natural God-given right to speak my mind. There just wouldn't be a piece of paper protecting that right from infringement by government. That's the key. To suggest we get our rights from the Constitution or that it lists our rights, it's the wrong perspective. if our rights were reduced to a list on a piece of paper, that paper could be modified or destroyed or eliminated, and our rights would be stripped away. And here's how I know. Remember the definition of unalienable. That's in the Declaration. We covered that. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And it means that those rights cannot be given or taken away. They're just ours. They're just naturally ours. I'm a human being. I have a natural right to speak my mind. I can speak my mind. I can worship God. I can speak my mind. I can defend myself. It's just naturally within me. In essence, and this is a hard one to, this is a hard pill to swallow for some people. In essence, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. We have been endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. We are human beings and have natural God-given rights. The Constitution then was written to protect those rights. Because remember what the Declaration says. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Among these, right? It's not the complete list. It's a general. And it says, and to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers by the consent of the governed. How? We the people wrote the Constitution in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, You know the thing. So we wrote the Constitution, why? To protect our rights. Which rights? Our natural God-given unalienable rights. So, So that last sentence there. We didn't transfer our God-given rights to the government to have them granted back to us from a piece of paper that can be altered by man. Our rights are unalienable.
Mm.
So I pray to God you understand the significance of this distinction. Your entire perspective will change once you truly embody this principle. You have the right to life, and you have the obvious and natural right to defend your life. If someone comes at you or breaks into your home, must you first get permission from the government to defend yourself? Of course not. You obviously need to protect your own life and that of your family. You don't get that right from the Second Amendment. Your right to defend yourself is natural and unalienable. And we're going to dig into the Second Amendment in a future principle and dig into the legal definition of the word shall and really what the Second Amendment does and does not do. But if the Second Amendment was changed or eliminated, would you still be allowed to defend yourself? Of course. And that phraseology I use here on purpose is one we hear all the time. Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to defend myself? Am I allowed to say that? What do you mean allowed? Allowed by who? Whom? God gave you that right. It's unalienable. It's your inheritance. All political power is inherent in the people, as it's said in many state constitutions. You don't have to look to another human being or government or piece of paper to allow you to defend your own life or speak your mind. The proper question we should be asking is the government allowed to do that? I'm going to say that again. Is the government allowed to do that? There's something that they're going to do. We need to say, wait a minute, is the government allowed to do that? We don't have constitutional rights. We have constitutional protections. It's the government that has constitutional rights. It's the government that receives its rights from the Constitution. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, we the people wrote that document, giving form to the government, telling it what it can and cannot do. We list its jurisdictions. We list its responsibilities, and we limit those responsibilities. All in that document. The government gets its rights from the Constitution. Are you allowed to speak your mind? One of the most fundamental natural God-given rights we often discuss is free speech, but people's perspective is oftentimes way off. So here's the wrong statement. My First Amendment right to free speech. You don't have a First Amendment right to free speech. The correct phraseology would be, my God-given unalienable right to free speech as protected by the First Amendment. My natural God-given right to speak my mind is protected by, as protected by the First Amendment. So when was the last time you read each word in the First Amendment? It starts off with, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. It's an instruction to the government and a restriction placed upon them. It's not a right granted to the people. It's a limitation placed on government. It doesn't say, and the people shall have the right to free speech. It doesn't say that. It says Congress shall make no law abridging their freedom of speech. The government is not allowed to trample on your God-given natural right to speak your mind. You don't have a constitutional right to do that. You have a natural God-given right to say what you want, and because of the First Amendment, the government can't stop you. This is so important. This is the hinge point most people have, is that aha moment when you look at the Constitution completely differently. I hope you see the difference. Don't think of the Constitution as a list of rights. Think of it as a list of protections. We don't have constitutional rights. We have constitutional protections. I know it's called a Bill of Rights, and I'll explain that in an upcoming principle. Getting this language and perspective right is crucial to communicating you understand our foundational principles. We don't have constitutional rights. We have constitutional protections. We don't get our rights from the Constitution. We get our rights from God. I hope this is clear. I've had so many people come up to me afterwards after discussing this, and that they have their aha moment. It's clear. Once it's clear, man, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And you hear that phrase, constitutional rights, all because, quote unquote, the left, they're not talking about the Constitution. The Constitution is only being talked about by people on the right. But even people, people on the right say, my constitutional rights. The document was written by we the people to protect our rights, not to grant them. God bless you guys. I'll see you in the next video. Hey, by the way, I want to hear your stories, your perspective, your reaction to this. Go down below to the share your thoughts section, and I look forward to hearing from you. God bless. All right, what'd you guys think of that? What did you think of that? I'd love to hear your feedback. That's a for those of you getting the live broadcast in the middle there. I was playing an excerpt from my course. This is principle number 9. We don't have constitutional rights. That's an excerpt from my course. And it's going to be about 35 videos in total. I'm going through each of the 30 foundational principles I discussed in the book. There's also a section at the end called How to Analyze Proposed Legislation with 10 Questions. We're going to go through those towards the end of the course, as well as how to spark an awakening in others. And then I'm going to talk about a challenge for each of you. But anyways, I'd love to get your feedback. If you guys go to Hoyt.me, that's Hoyt.me, Hoyt.me. Put your email there. I'll send you some links to this stuff. I have an online community called Liberty Restoration Society, where we are focused on restoring liberty in our lives. And that's where I have the course housed there as well. And with the course comes the community. If you do the community without the course, it's free anyways. But to interact with people during the course. And again, people are having these aha moments. I just recorded today, I think it was principle 14, shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed, where I discussed the fact that I don't have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment did not grant me that right. When you look at the word shall, it's a legal word. It's a future tense imperative command. It says whatever follows the word shall in the future, it's imperative. It's a command to the government that that right, it recognizes, the Second Amendment recognizes that that right, which existed before the Constitution was written, the natural God-given right to defend yourself, the people's right to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment did not grant me that right. The Second Amendment recognizes it and declares that from that point forward, that it shall not be infringed. And I go through the actual breakdowns of a lot of the connotations people have about the militia and well-regulated and all this kind of stuff, and I define it historically as well, Supreme Court agreeing with it. Anyways, I discuss all that in the course as well. But the whole point here is to help you guys talk about liberty to your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, because some of you on the right, you're not doing a very good job. And I don't mean you, because if you've been watching me paying attention for a while, you know that I'm a stickler for this stuff. We're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic, and I explain all of that in the course. I talk about the fact that they're not our leaders. I hear that all the time. Our leaders in Washington. And there's a lot of talking heads that are on big national media that are quote-unquote on the right and doing a really good job with a lot of stuff. But then they also say, well, our leaders in Washington are doing this and doing that. It's like, for goodness sake, your hierarchy is backwards. They're not our leaders. They're our public servants. There's a lot of stuff like that that I dig into and explain. So hope you guys get signed up. I'll see you in the course. While we're broadcasting this live, Thomas signed up. God bless you, Thomas. Thank you, sir, for jumping in there. And I'll look forward to interacting with all of you going forward. God bless you. Talk to you soon.